Everybody for having me back. It always reminds me whenever I come back here to speak. It just reminds me how much I miss being here. So it's always a blessing for me to be here. The readings that I chose for today's sermon, if those who are a bit more following of the lectionary, actually the readings from last week, but the reading that I came across is one of my favourites of the Old Testament. And so I just couldn't pass up an opportunity to speak on it. And so the one thing I love about the Old Testament and the characters of the Bible that we read in both Old Testament and New Testament is that they aren't really special people. When I was writing up this sermon, I was going through a list of them, and I could not think of a single person, main character, main player, who hadn't gone through some form of discouragement, some form of despair, doubt, depression, anxiety, fear, and just pure exhaustion. I couldn't think of one of them. You can go through all the Old Testament and in the New Testament, and all these people have gone through something like that. And what's quite wonderful is that, particularly in Elijah's case, who we'll be talking about today, the Epistle of James in the New Testament tells us that Elijah is a man with a nature just like ours. So what does that mean? Which means he's just like you and me. He's no different. So when we read this story, what we do see is we see ourselves in the story. Because he's just like us. So just to give you a bit of context of where we are, at the start of chapter 19 of where we were reading, Elijah has just come off of what you might call a great victory. He's challenged the prophets of Baal, and he's overcome them, and he's beat them, and he's singing Al Johnson's Sitting on Top of the World, for those who know that song. But then what happens is, just out of nowhere, it just comes out of the blue, he's threatened. And this is where our story picks up. You can say that as Elijah is just going through where he's at in his life, there's one of these moments where you could just put in the text, and then it happened. Which, if you think about your life, when things have really sort of rocked you, if you were writing a book on your life, that would be the chapter. And then it happened that I got the news. This person died or whatever. So this is where Elijah is at. And what he does here is, after he's threatened, it says here, verse 3, that, and when he saw that, he arose and he ran for his life. And he went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he left his servant there. First problem, he's alone. Generally, when we've coming across or we're encountering problems or issues or trials, we tend to isolate ourselves. I don't want people to know. I'm a little bit embarrassed, maybe. Or you're just a very private person. You don't like people to know that you're struggling. Or that you're exhausted. Or that you're at the end of your tether. You've been burning the candle at both ends. And so what he does is he runs and he's by himself. And just, I did look this up just to give you a bit of context of how far he traveled. From where he was to where he is now is 100 miles, which is 160 something kilometers, for those who don't know the difference of the metrics. So that's how far he's come. In wilderness. And then it says here that he sat down under a broom tree or a bushel tree. Now, when you see this in the Bible, when somebody has sat under a tree, the best way I can describe it is that they slump. It means that they've come to the point where they can go no further. He's physically exhausted, he's spiritually exhausted, he's emotionally exhausted. He's mentally exhausted, And he comes to this tree and he just slumps. It's almost like that's how far he got and then he just collapsed. That has so much more meaning when you read in John's Gospel when Jesus comes across Nathanael and says to Nathanael, when you were under that fig tree, I saw you. So if you can take being under the tree as your lowest point, it's almost like you can hear in Nathanael's private moment, do you even see me? That cry to God, where are you? Do you even see me? And then for him to come across Jesus, and then Jesus says, when you were under that fig tree, I saw you. It has that whole extra meaning to it. But that's where Elijah is at the time. And he says that he asked, it is enough. Take my life, for I'm no better than my father's. First of all, he doesn't have to be better than his father's. We put this expectation on ourselves that you have to do better. You have to do more. You have to be a better person than who came before you. Or you have to be better than who you were yesterday. Always about profit. Always about growing. Always about changing. Always about becoming something else. Never just being. You're always on the go. You never stop. We're at a season at the moment where a lot of people are getting sick. And people say, well, it's because it's the cold weather. From the people I've encountered who have been really sick, I've discovered that it's not because it's the cold weather, it's because they're run down. You're halfway through the year. And you've been going at it for too hard, for too long, without any rest. You haven't stopped. And so when Elijah comes to this point, he collapses. And it says here that he slept under a broom tree, and then suddenly an angel touched him and said, arise and eat. And then he looks, he sees food and drink. He eats and drinks and he lies down again. Elijah, in his lowest moment, at this point, all that God does for him is tells him to rest. You need to stop. You're exhausted. You need to rest. Sometimes you can be burnt out and run down because of fear. You've been afraid for too long. You've been depressed for too long. You've been surviving for too long. And you've come to this point where you can go no further. And so what God does to him, he doesn't rebuke him. He doesn't remind him. He doesn't say to him, well, in chapter 18, I did all this stuff for you. Why, where is your faith? Why are you full of such fear? Doesn't tell him that. Doesn't shame him for feeling the way he's feeling. Elijah has poured out his heart to him. This is how I feel. I want to die. And God has said to him, rest. If I turned up at my grandmother's house and I was in a state, for some reason, I don't know why this is, but she'd make me eat something. Why don't you eat something and then let's have a chat? Go have a hot shower. Have a lie down and let's have a chat. Let me let yourself be nourished and then let's talk. So that's what God does with Elijah. He meets this need that he is at and he tells us in verse 7, it's like, arise and eat because the journey is too great for you. You need to stop. Be filled. Eat. Be nourished. Let me look after you. Let me love you. Let me take you in my arms and hold you for a minute. So he rose, he ate and he drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. Just to give you a bit of idea, I told you that where he's traveled is about 160 kilometers. Where he's gone now is three times that journey. Okay? So in his own strength, he went that far and then collapsed. When God has come to him and touched him and fed him and made him rest, he's now gone three times that journey. Why? Because when we're stressed, when we're under a lot of pressure, you don't eat like you should. You don't sleep like you should. You don't rest like you should. You don't take care of yourself like you should. But now that he has had that, he's been able to go three times he could have done on his own. And he comes to Mount Horeb. You might know that as a different name, called Mount Sinai. This is the same mountain that God spoke to Moses on. To Elijah and to his people, that is the most sacred place. So let's look at this again. He's at his lowest point. Where does he go? He goes to the most sacred place to talk with his God. It's the same mountain also, because it says here Elijah is in a cave. When Moses was in a cave and said, "Let me see your glory," and then God said, "Well, get in that cave and I'll walk past you." Okay? That's the idea. I don't know what that is for you. I don't know what your most sacred place is. Jesus called it a secret place. You're to go in your secret place and you are to shut your door, because your Father is in there waiting for you. Could be a room in your house, could be in your car, could be a chair, could be in your bed, could just be internal somewhere, it could be anything. Go there and pour out your heart. Because what he does is, when he is there, God says to him, "What are you doing here?" I looked it up. That is not a rebuke that he says. He's not telling him off. It's almost like a small child has come to you and you say to them, "What's going on? Tell me what's wrong. What's the matter? What happened?" It's not like God doesn't know why he is the way he is, but he wants Elijah to talk to me. Talk to me. And Elijah says, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." What's he saying there? I did everything right, and I got the wrong outcome. Have you ever been there before? You followed all the rules and you still lost? You're still discouraged? You prayed, you were faithful, you fasted, that person still died? The funds are still low, the debts are still high. You did everything right, you're faithful. That gets me low. For some reason, I don't know what it is, I have this idea of this merit system where if I do everything in the right way at the right time, then things will work out okay. Sometimes they don't. That's life. Hard to accept that. And that's what Elijah has done. He's come to him and said, "I've been very zealous, I've done all the right things, and this happened." What God then says to him is that, "Go out and stand in the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks into pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake there was a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still small voice." That's the title of my message. If I was to literally translate that for you, what it says here is that the Lord wasn't in any of those. The Lord was in a gentle blowing, which is, doesn't sound as good on the sound system, but you get what I mean. When you see the trees ruffle a little bit through the window, it was in that. Another translation could be that you could interpret it as a thin silence. No idea what that means. I don't know the difference between a thin silence and a thick silence. But that's the idea. God was not in the fantastic. He was not in the spectacular. Where God was in the moment between the breath, between the beats of the heart, between the thoughts. That's where it was. Not out there, but in him. An internal, sacred place. And God's glory has walked past him. One thing I love about this is that in this whole reading, there isn't a single word of judgment. There's no rebuke. There's no shame. There's no condemnation. He hasn't been told off. He hasn't said, well, Elijah, there's worse off prophets than you. I hate when people say that. If you turn around and say that you've gone through something or you're upset about something or you're stressed about someone, and then somebody says to you, well, there's someone worse off than you. Okay. Doesn't invalidate that they're in a lot of pain right now. That's a stupid thing to say. If anything, you should have more empathy then. If they've just gone to the moon and you've been there twice, well, then you know how hard it is to get there. But what God does for Elijah is he tells him to stop, he tells him to rest, and he tells him to talk to me. Pour out your heart. It's one thing I don't really see get talked about much. I mean, you guys have heard me talk about it in the past, but be sincere. Be authentic. If you're upset, if you're mad, if something happened and you didn't like the way it happened, tell God about it. I do it all the time. I've done it a lot this week. We say God is good all the time, and all the time God is good, but it doesn't feel like that all the time. Sometimes you're like, why is this happening? Where are you in this? Can you pull your finger out? It's just a very natural, very human response. And the one thing I love about all these characters that I'm talking about and that we talk about is that that's what they're doing. They're calling out, asking, where are you? And in the calling out, God is like, well, I'm right here. I'm in the stillness. I'm in between the beats of the heart. Always there, never left you. Never forsaken you. I know more about the situation you're going through than you do. You just need to come to me. I'll look after you. I'll sit with you. I'll hold your hand. It's really hard to do if you want an answer now. Because when we look at even Sunday, our Sunday is technically like our Sabbath, our Shabbat, as the Jews call it. And all you had to, all that day was for, was that you were to stop and find your rest in God for the week. You come to the end of the week, you stop everything that you're doing, and you find your rest in God. So, with having said all that, my encouragement to you is to stop. You're in the middle of the year, and it's not like everything stops when you're on holidays at the very start of the year. You just carry over into the next year. But you're through the middle of the year, the weather is colder, the days are darker. Stop. Find your rest in God. Go to that most sacred place, whatever that is for you, because it's different for everybody, and let the glory of the Lord pass you by. That's what's been on my heart lately. That's what I've been told lately. And that's what I've been praying for lately. So I share that with you as my church family. Amen?